Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The Trump-aligned majority on the state board of election in Georgia is rigging the rules so that local election officials don't have to certify an election if a Democrat wins. That is a crisis for democracy that has the potential for mass chaos, disenfranchisement, and confusion in November.
In the key battleground state of Georgia, Democrats are suing to halt new election rules that could be used to block certification of November election results. We'll speak with voting rights journalist Ari Berman. And we go to Texas, where the Republican Attorney General just led a series of raids on Latinx leaders and members of LULAC, the country's oldest and largest Latino civil rights group, accusing them of voter fraud. LULAC is calling for the DOJ to investigate the Texas Attorney General. But first, the Israeli military launches its biggest operation in the occupied West Bank in close to two decades, with hundreds of troops raiding the northern cities of Jenin and Tulkarem. At least nine Palestinians have been killed. We'll go to Ramallah to speak with Palestinian physician and politician Dr. Mustafa Barghouti. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. At least nine Palestinians were killed overnight as Israel's military carried out its largest raid in the occupied West Bank in two decades. Israeli soldiers, backed by armored vehicles, bulldozers, fighter jets and drones, launched simultaneous raids on Jenin, Tulkarem and Tubas. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society reports Jenin's three main hospitals were besieged with Israeli soldiers, barring ambulances from transporting the wounded. Other witnesses described Israeli bulldozers destroying roads, water and power infrastructure. As the raid got underway, Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, called for the mass displacement of Palestinians in the West Bank. Katz wrote on social media, quote, "We need to deal with the threat exactly as we deal with terror infrastructure in Gaza, including the temporary evacuation of Palestinian civilians and any other step needed. This is a war for everything, and we must win it," Israel's foreign minister wrote. Palestinian health officials say Israeli raids on the West Bank since October have killed over 650 Palestinians, 148 of them children. After headlines, we'll go to the occupied West Bank, to Ramallah, for the latest. Israeli attacks on the central and southern Gaza Strip have killed dozens of Palestinians over the past day. Among the dead are six people who were killed when an Israeli airstrike tore through residential buildings in the city of Khan Yunis.
A house was bombed, filled with residents. It had about 100 people in it, displaced people who came from Rafah and the cities around Khan Yunis. They were all bombed by F-16s. They were all children and women, all children who have no relation to the resistance or anything else. The Israeli military is committing a genocide.
In another attack, Israeli forces struck a school sheltering displaced people in Deir al-Balah, killing eight Palestinians. And earlier today, forces killed Palestinian photojournalist Mohammed Abderrabo and his sister in an airstrike on their home in the Nusayrat refugee camp. The Palestinian Journalist Syndicate says Israel's killed at least 161 media workers since October 7th. On Tuesday, the United Nations warned Israel's continued assault on Gaza has severely hampered aid efforts and is disrupting plans to launch a mass vaccination campaign against polio next week. Israeli forces in Gaza have rescued a Bedouin Arab Muslim man who'd been kidnapped on October 7th. On Tuesday, Israeli soldiers said they found Qaid Farhan al-Qadi alone underground in a tunnel. He's the eighth hostage to be rescued. In Ukraine, at least six people were killed Tuesday as Russia's military continued a barrage of drone and missile attacks on critical infrastructure. Ukrainian officials have called the recent strikes the largest aerial assault since Russia's invasion in 2022. Among the dead are four people who were buried under the rubble of a hotel flattened by a Russian missile in the city of Kryvyi Rih. On Tuesday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said he hoped to present President Biden with a plan for victory next month when he visits the United States for the UN General Assembly. Zelensky said he'd also share the proposal with Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. But Zelensky ruled out any immediate ceasefire with Russia.
There can be no compromises with Putin. Dialogue today is in principle empty and meaningless because he does not want to end the war diplomatically. He does not want it. He pretends to be ready for a diplomatic way, but under the condition of giving him 30% of our land.
The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency is warning of the heightened risk of a nuclear catastrophe after Ukrainian soldiers press their counteroffensive deeper into Russia and close to the Kursk nuclear power plant. On Monday, IAEA Chief Rafael Grossi said after a tour of the aging nuclear facility that Ukraine and Russia must cease fighting around all nuclear sites, including Kursk and the Russian-occupied Zaporizhzhia power plant in Ukraine. Grossi warned the Soviet-era Kursk nuclear plant's reactors are not protected by the sort of containment domes typically found in modern nuclear facilities, making them especially vulnerable to damage from missiles or artillery fire.
A comparison like this, equating Chernobyl with Kursk, I think is an exaggeration. But this is the same type of reactor and there is no specific protection. And this is very, very important.
In Afghanistan, the Taliban's approved a wide-ranging morality law that forces women to completely cover their bodies and remain silent in public. The law will be enforced by the so-called morality police, who work under the Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. The law codifies many rules that have been in place since the Taliban returned to power 3 years ago. The law has been widely condemned. This is Ravina Shamdasani, spokesperson for the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights.
These are partners who are being completely silenced, and they're attempting to render them into shadows. Their voices are no longer permissible. Education is no longer permissible. You cannot even see their faces. This needs to stop, and we need to continue talking about it. We need to continue advocating for it and putting pressure on the authorities to listen.
Afghan women have been defying the Taliban's edicts in videos posted on social media or shared with human rights groups. This is a woman living inside Afghanistan who concealed her identity as she recorded herself singing, "You have silenced my voice until further notice. You have imprisoned me in my home for the crime of being a woman."
زدی تا امر سانی مهر خاموشی دهانم را محیا می کنی تا امر سانی آب و نانم را مرا با جرم زن بودن اسیر خانه‌ام کردی.
In India, protests are continuing over the rape and murder of a young medical student in a Kolkata hospital earlier this month. On Tuesday, police fired water cannons and tear gas as thousands marched in Kolkata to demand the resignation of West Bengal's chief minister. In news from Washington, D.C., special counsel Jack Smith has filed a revised indictment against Donald Trump for his efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Trump faces the same criminal charges in the case, but Smith reworked parts of the original indictment after the Supreme Court granted Trump broad immunity for official acts he took as president. The case is not expected to go to trial before the November election. In campaign news, Donald Trump's added two former Democrats to his transition team, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and former Hawaii Congress member Tulsi Gabbard. Kennedy suspended his independent presidential campaign this weekend, but his name will likely remain on the ballot in some states. Kennedy's reportedly aiming to become Secretary of Health and Human Services if Trump is elected. Kennedy, who was once a prominent environmental lawyer, is a leading figure in the anti-vaccine movement. He has endorsed Trump despite once calling him a, quote, terrible president. And in Mexico, President Andrés Manuel López Obrador has paused relations with the U.S. and Canadian embassies after the two countries criticized Mexico's efforts to reform its judiciary system. Part of the reform calls for judges to be elected by popular vote. Mexico's president-elect, Claudia Sheinbaum, who will take office October 1st, defended the proposed changes.
¿Qué es mejor?
What's best, justices of the Supreme Court elected by the Senate of the Republic or by the people of Mexico? Who says the people of Mexico? Raise your hand. This is democracy. Democracy to elect the president, democracy for lawmakers, and democracy for the judiciary too, so that it is a judiciary at the service of the people.
Last week, U.S. Ambassador Ken Salazar criticized Mexico's judicial reform proposal, saying, quote, popular direct election of judges is a major risk to the functioning of Mexico's democracy. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
At least 9 Palestinians have been killed and 11 injured as the Israeli military launches its biggest operation in the occupied West Bank in close to 2 decades. With hundreds of troops backed by armored vehicles, bulldozers, fighter jets and drones launching simultaneous raids on the northern cities of Jenin and Tulkarem. In Jenin, Israeli forces have surrounded the city, blocking exit and entry points and access to hospitals and ripping up infrastructure in the Jenin refugee camp. Israeli forces have also been closing down the main roads leading to Tulkarem and other cities. An Israeli military spokesman told a news conference the raids were the first stage of an even larger operation in the West Bank. As the raids got underway, Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, called for the mass displacement of Palestinians in the West Bank. He wrote on social media, quote, we need to deal with the threat exactly as we deal with terror infrastructure in Gaza, including the temporary evacuation of Palestinian civilians and any other step needed. This is a war for everything, and we must win it, he said. Over 650 Palestinians have been killed in the occupied West Bank since October, nearly 150 of them children, most of them during near daily raids by the Israeli military. For more, we go to Ramallah in the occupied West Bank, where we're joined by the Palestinian physician, activist and politician, Dr. Mustafa Barghouti. He serves as General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative. Dr. Barghouti, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you explain what's happening in the occupied West Bank?
Well, Amy, thank you for having me. But what's happening is absolutely horrifying, because what we see here is Israel trying to transfer the genocide war that is conducted in Gaza and the war of ethnic cleansing from Gaza to the West Bank. And what we see here is a unilateral war from the side of a huge Israeli army, which has airplanes, which has tanks, which has huge number of soldiers, against basically civilian Palestinian population. You have to understand that the West Bank is an area that has been under Israeli military occupation continuously since 1967. So it's an occupied territory. And now the Israeli army, which is occupying us all this time, is conducting a war on occupied people. It's the worst and gravest possible violation of international law that governs the behavior of an occupying power. And their goal is very clear. It's, as Israeli Minister of Foreign Affairs said, it's ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. This is a fascist Israeli government governed by fascists like Netanyahu, Smotrich, and Ben-Gvir, whose goal and aim is to annex the West Bank, is to settle Israeli illegal settlers in Palestinian territory and displace the Palestinian population. They are trying to repeat the Nakba. They are trying to repeat the ethnic cleansing that took place in 1948. And this time, the Israeli army is invading not only Jenin and Tul Karim and Nur Shams camp and Tubas and Far'a camp. They are invading in so many areas in the West Bank. So many villages tonight were attacked and continue to be attacked. Hundreds of people have been arrested in this campaign. And the worst thing is that the Israeli army and bulldozers are destroying the infrastructure in many refugee camps, especially Nur Shams camp and Jenin camp. They are destroying roads. They are destroying power infrastructure. They are destroying water pipelines. They are destroying homes. And there is no limit to what they are doing. And at the same time, the world is watching and doing nothing. It's an absolute, absolute, unacceptable, horrible war crime that the Israeli army is conducting once again inside the West Bank. And I repeat, they are trying to repeat the same ethnic cleansing, the same genocide that is committed in Gaza, where, by the way, the war crimes continue. And every day the Israeli army is killing 40 or 50 Palestinians. Most of them, of course, are civilians.
And Dr. Barghouti, I'm wondering your sense of whether this extreme right-wing government in Israel is determined to keep the fighting going, even in the face of a huge international criticism, not only with the assassinations and the attacks in Iran and in Lebanon and Gaza, but now in the West Bank. Is it your sense that they feel this is their opportunity to finally have a decisive cleansing of the Palestinian people?
Absolutely. I think that's what they are trying to do. This is a fascist government run by theo-fascist people who have no respect of any human right, no respect of any international law. And their goal is ethnic cleansing, yes. Their goal is annexation of the West Bank. And what's happening now in the West Bank proves that the Israeli attack on Palestinians is not because of Hamas, because Hamas is not governing in the West Bank. It's the Palestinian Authority, which was stripped from all its authorities. And it's not about 7th of October, because these same acts started to happen before the 7th of October. And that shows you that the 7th of October was a result rather than a cause of what's happening. And now the Israeli ministers are coming out claiming they are fighting Iran in the West Bank. What kind of lie this is? The people who are occupied by Israel since 57 years are Palestinians, not Iranians. The people who were displaced by Israel in 1948, 70% of the Palestinian population became refugees because Israel displaced them through massacres. They were Palestinians, not Iranians. But as usual, Israel is trying to claim that it is fighting some kind of another country. Before it was the Soviet Union, then it was Egypt, then it was Syria, then it was Iraq. Now they're talking about Iran because they don't want to admit that the real struggle here is the struggle of the Palestinian people for freedom, to end occupation, to end the system of apartheid. They are trying to cover up the reality, and the reality is that there is an occupier, which is Israel, and occupied people who are Palestinians. There is an oppressor, which is Israel, and its parties, and its government, and its society, actually. And there is an oppressed, which are the Palestinian population. And now, not only they are occupying us and practicing apartheid against us and stealing our land and imprisoning our children, more than that, they are conducting war on us and trying to conduct ethnic cleansing one more time against the Palestinian population. They would not have dared to do all of that if it wasn't for the United States of America, if it wasn't for the unlimited military support that the United States is providing to Israel. They would not have dared to do so if it wasn't for Germany, which is providing them also with military equipment. If it wasn't for so many European countries, and I don't want to put everybody in the same basket, but if it wasn't for all this European support to Israel, While, and if it wasn't for the double standard that is used internationally against the Palestinian population. I would also add, Israel would not have dared to go so far if it wasn't for the silence and the weak reaction from so many Arab governments and Muslim governments.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that, the Arab and Muslim governments, the role that they are playing right now, and what could they be doing?
Well, it seems they don't have a free will, most of them. Again, I don't like to put everybody in the same basket. There are differences here. But the least they can do is boycott Israel, declare sanctions on Israel, cut all the normalization agreements with Israel. That's the minimal thing they can do. We're not asking them to send armies to fight Israel, but at least impose sanctions on Israel. And I say that the world community itself is responsible if it does not immediately engage in boycott, divestment, sanctions against this terrible fascist regime in Israel that is driving the whole region into a catastrophe and that continues this terrible crime against the Palestinian people. How long can we continue to tolerate this terrible oppression? We've been subjected to ethnic cleansing, to occupation, to apartheid, to oppression, to persecution for 76 years. Why should we tolerate that? And why we don't have the right to struggle for our freedom and for our independence and for our dignity like everybody else in this world?
Dr. Barghouti, can you talk about the timing of this? You even have the Israeli generals putting pressure on Netanyahu, the prime minister, to sign off on a ceasefire. He hasn't done that, has added more conditions to it. The whole issue of what's happening in Gaza right now, and then shifting to or adding the West Bank, not that they haven't been attacking the West Bank before.
You know, Amy, what is really shocking is that everything that is happening was not a secret. Everything that we see today in the West Bank and what we see in Gaza was declared as a plan by Israeli ministers continuously and repeatedly. They didn't even try to hide their intentions, and they're declaring it every day, including the intention of annexing the West Bank, including the intention of ethnically cleansed Palestinians. They're not hiding that. And I don't buy that there are differences really anymore between the security apparatus and the army and Netanyahu. If they really had these differences, they would force him to stop. But I think what you see here is a very dangerous phenomenon. It's not just that we have an Israeli fascist government. We also have a fascist society. I've never seen anything like that in previous history, except maybe the rise of Nazis in Germany, where a huge number of the people, out of fear, out of misleading information, out of extreme Zionist ideology, are behaving as fascists. And the reality is that Netanyahu, each time he declares that he's continuing the war, he's getting better votes in the polls. And that encourages him to continue. And that's what pushed him to take this terrible step of moving the war, of continuing the war in Gaza, and then moving it to the West Bank.
And Israel Katz, the foreign minister of Israel, saying this is a war on everything?
Yeah, he means war on every Palestinian, war on every Palestinian child. Out of the 11 people they've just killed in Jenin and Tul Karim, many are children. And two were children in Rafah refugee camp. It's a war on all Palestinians. It's a war of a settler colonial system that wants to erase the Palestinian population, to erase the Palestinian people in the 21st century. That is the meaning of what he says, a war on everything. Because they mean that they want to ethnically cleanse the whole of the West Bank, the whole of East Jerusalem, and to annex them to Israel. And that's why we are attacked not only by the Israeli army, but also by Israeli illegal settlers who are behaving like gangs, reminding us of the same gangs, the Zionist gangs of Shtern and Haganah, that committed more than 52 massacres in 1948, and that erased to the ground 520 Palestinian communities in what became called Israel later. It's a continuation of this terrible war of ethnic cleansing. That is the reality. And this is happening in front of the whole world. It's happening in front of the American government, which does nothing to stop this terrible atrocity and does nothing to stop this terrible ethnic cleansing. On the contrary, they continue to provide Israel with weapons, continue to provide Israel with bombs, and continue to protect Israel in the United Nations Security Council and in every other political venue.
Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, we thank you for being with us. Palestinian physician and politician who serves as General Secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative, speaking to us from the occupied West Bank, from Ramallah. Coming up, Democrats are suing to halt new Trump-backed election rules that could be used to block certification of the November election. We'll speak with voting rights journalist Ari Berman and with the CEO of LULAC, the oldest Latino civil rights organization in this country, which is asking the Department of Justice to investigate the Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton for raiding the homes of LULAC members, accusing them of vote harvesting and more. Stay with us. Latrio Gibran. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. War, peace, and the presidency. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We look now at how voting rules in key battleground states could impact the November election results, especially in Georgia, where the laws are Republican-led and backed by former President Trump, who is now running for re-election. This week, the Democratic National Committee and the Georgia Democratic Party sued to halt Georgia's new election rules, which they say could be used to block certification of election results if Democrats win in November. The new rules passed by the Georgia State Election Board allow election officials to conduct a, quote, reasonable inquiry before certifying election results and to investigate ballot counts. At a campaign rally earlier this month, Trump praised the Georgia State Election Board's MAGA-aligned majority.
I don't know if you've heard, but the Georgia State Election Board is in a very positive way. This is a very positive thing, Marjorie. They're on fire. They're doing a great job. Three members, Janice Johnson, Rick Jeffries, and Janelle King, three people, are all pit bulls fighting for honesty, transparency, and victory.
For more, we're joined by journalist Ari Berman, voting rights correspondent for Mother Jones, who called this a, quote, five-alarm fire for democracy in Georgia. Ari, welcome back to Democracy Now! Explain, first of all, who he's praising there and exactly what Georgia has done.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Juan. Thank you for having me back on the show. So Trump is praising three members of the State Board of Election in Georgia who are appointed by Republicans, by the Republican Party and the Republican-controlled Georgia legislature. And they made a series of rule changes earlier this month that are extremely concerning for democracy and voting rights. One, saying that counties must undertake a reasonable inquiry before certifying an election, and another saying that counties are entitled to what they call all election-related documentation before certifying an election. And I think the goal here is to try to make certification of an election optional instead of mandatory, which is how it's been understood for decades, not just in Georgia, but around the country. And the huge worry here, and why I said this is a five-alarm fire for democracy, is it appears that Georgia Republicans are laying the groundwork not to certify the presidential election if Kamala Harris wins. And they're doing exactly what Trump wanted them to do in 2020. Trump made Georgia the epicenter of the attempt to try to overturn the election. He asked